Well, I've already been blessed this time that we've been here, last night and this morning. And thank you, guys, and Melissa for leading us this morning. What a blessing that was to start the day out that way. Wouldn't it be great if we could do this every day? Well, this morning I'm going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. What we want to talk about today is fueling a passion for godliness through God's great and precious promises. And my desire this morning in this message is to encourage you and to give you confidence in God, that God will indeed accomplish what He has promised and what He has planned to do in your life. God will accomplish that. I want you to have confidence in that and to encourage you that God is working to bring this about, and He has promised to do that in His great and precious promises. And so let's begin with another word of prayer before we look at our text this morning. Oh, Father, how I need You today. I pray that You will speak through me. Lord, I feel so inadequate as I stand before other believers that are just like me. There's nothing special about me. I have no special ability. Lord, we all stand in great need of Your work in us. And so we come and we ask for Your Spirit to move in us, accomplish in us what You promise that You're going to do here in this passage. Help me, Lord, to speak Your word clearly and accurately. And we just thank You in advance for what You want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Do you hear the certainty of the promise that Peter shares with us here? When I read this passage, it makes me want to leap for joy because it is just abounding in certainty of God and God's ability of what God is going to do. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is a certainty. That is a certainty of what God is going to accomplish in us. This statement just fills me with this joy. It's awesome. It's like when, you know, Carpenter or Adams hit a home run and you jump up and you want to shout for joy. Well, it's greater than that joy. It's that excitement. And we should be that excited about what God has promised that He's going to do in us. It's an astounding statement that should give us great encouragement and confidence in God. There is so much help here in these verses. And so let's dig into it. Let's see what Peter has to share with us to encourage us in our battle for godliness. Our battle for godliness. Well, there's one main thing that Peter is really trying to say here in this passage. And it's simply, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That is the main thrust of what he's trying to say here. But there are three parts as we go on and we look at the rest of this passage. There are three parts that he breaks it down into how does God bring about this godliness in our lives? How does God bring that about? His divine power has granted all these things to us, but how exactly does God bring that about? And so we're going to see here in this passage, first of all, the goal is that we obtain this life and godliness that he is speaking about. And then second, Lord willing, we will see where the source of this life and godliness comes from. And then third, we want to see the means that God uses to produce this life and this godliness in us. So those are the 3 points up front. So hopefully I'll stay on track. And that's what we'll talk about. Well, first of all, let's talk about the goal. The goal that Peter is talking about is this life and this godliness. The main point that Peter is focused on in this passage is this eternal life and godliness. Or we could say salvation and sanctification, if you prefer a bigger word. He is talking about escaping from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So we are striving toward godliness. We are striving to leave behind the corruption and the sinful desire that we were once enslaved to, and we are pursuing this godliness and this eternal life that Peter is talking about. And this is a struggle, a daily struggle that every believer faces. This battle is both an external and an internal battle. There's the corruption of the world surrounding us that wants to grab at us and tempt us and deceive us by its desire, its sinful desire. So there's that external pressure that we feel, struggle. There's the internal struggle of the sinful desire that still remains in our flesh that we're fighting against. And that's why sanctification, becoming like Christ, is a struggle. It's not an automatic completed thing at salvation. God intends for this process of sanctification to go throughout life, and it does, and it will, because Peter has made it very clear here that his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So it will occur. It will happen. This sanctification will come about in our life. And yet, as Romans 5, 1 through 5 tells us, there are a whole lot of things in this process of sanctification that God uses. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so all of these things of suffering that produces endurance in us that Pastor Scott talked about this past Sunday, it produces character and hope, all of these things. And so there's this struggle that occurs in our lives as we pursue sanctification and godliness. Peter mentions here, to reiterate that this is his main point and focus, he mentions godliness 3 different times, and he uses 3 different phrases to indicate that here. The first time, he uses the word godliness in verse 3. And then in the second part of verse 3, he refers to his own glory and excellence. So that's what he's calling us to, his own glory and excellence. And then in verse 4, he refers to partakers of the divine nature. All 3 of these things, talking about sanctification and godliness. And so godliness is the mark upon our lives that we have escaped the corruption that is in the world. And godliness in our lives gives us the hope of eternal life. The fact that there is godliness in our life is a mark, is a proof that we indeed have been set free from sin and we are inheriting eternal life. Peter, if you continue through his epistle here of 2 Peter, he abhors the thought that we would simply seek a fire insurance policy to escape hell and that our lives will not consistently look more and more like Christ. He abhors that idea. And so he is laying out before us that our goal as believers must be godliness. We must set that before us each and every day. That is what we are pursuing. And there will be no eternal life if there is no godliness. And so it's included a warning here. If there is no godliness, if there is no mark of godliness in our life, there is no eternal life. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness, same idea, the holiness, the godliness, sanctification, for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And so it's a warning to us that we must strive for this godliness. It's not just something that we can leave on the shelf or take. It is essential. It is essential. Without it, we do not have eternal life. Our second point is the source of godliness. The source of godliness. Where does Peter say that this godliness comes from? I want to say this. I want to make sure that it's clear when I talk about how we must strive for godliness. I want us to be careful that we don't somehow get the idea that we within ourselves must somehow work up the strength and the motivation to be godly so that we can prove that we're saved. I want to make it very clear that's not what I'm talking about at all. That is another form of legalism that is just an attempt to earn salvation on our own effort. Peter is not laying a burden upon us that is impossible with godliness. Not at all. Peter is doing the exact opposite. Peter is encouraging us and he's giving us confidence that godly is not only possible, but it will be the mark of our life as a believer. Peter encourages us by saying his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The source of godliness is his divine power, not our power to produce godliness. Just like eternal life is provided for us from outside of ourselves, everything we need for life and godliness is also provided from outside of ourselves from His divine power. The power of God will transform your life and make you godly if you belong to Christ. Our confidence and our hope is in God's divine power. That's the encouragement and that's the confidence that I want us to have. Romans 8:1, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Again, do you hear the certainty of that? That this will happen. This will happen. The Spirit that gave Christ life will also give you spirit. Will give you life in your mortal body. So our source for godliness, our hope for godliness is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, working in us to transform us. Peter does not state it as a possibility, but as a certainty that His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Power is given to those who have placed their hope, their faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Legalism is striving to earn salvation by being godly in my own strength and power. Faith is humbly seeing there is nothing within me that can ever be godly if God's divine power does not accomplish it for me. And so the source of this power is God's divine power. So I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to be confident that God will produce godliness in you. He will. Do you ever get discouraged in your personal sanctification? Does your progress just seem way too slow? Do you sometimes feel defeated by your sin? And even feel defeated by your lack of desire to fight sin, or your desire to strive for godliness just seems so feeble? Are there times when you feel like you are taking one step forward and sometimes two steps back, as the old country song says? It may feel like that sometimes. And one of Satan's schemes is to attack our confidence in God's ability to transform us. That's one of his main schemes. He wants us to lose hope that sin can be defeated in us. And he flings his fiery darts at our minds, and he wants us to doubt these promises that God gives us, that his divine power will actually grant us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His fiery darts are aimed at our hearts to accuse us of our unworthiness, to make us give up in our fight for godliness. We are indeed unworthy based upon our performance. We are. But praise be to God, God judges us not on our worthiness, but on Christ's righteousness credited to our account. Amen? So our confidence must be entirely dependent upon God's ability and God's promises in His Word to defeat the remaining sin in us and make us into the image of Christ. We need to know God deeply and know deeply God's ability to work on our behalf if we're going to have this confidence in Him. We need to know His Word and that He has promised to do in us. That will give us confidence. This does not mean at all that we are passive in godliness. Paul writes in Philippians 2:13, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you." Did you get that? It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So we're not passive. We don't lay back and say, "All right, hit me with your divine power. Hit me with godliness. I'm going to lay here, and if I move to godliness, then it happens." No, Paul makes it clear that we are working out salvation with fear and trembling. But did you hear how he echoes what Peter is saying? It is God who works in you. It is God's divine power at work in you to will and to work His good pleasure. So He's bringing it about. He's bringing it about in us. But we're not passive. It is God's power at work in us that gives us both the desire for godliness and the power to strive or to work to become godly. 1 John 3:2-3. "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." Again, another verse bursting with hope and encouragement and confidence that this will happen. We will be like Him. He will make us like Him. We shall see Him. We shall see Him. And when we see Him and we see God for who He is, that will give us hope, and we will be purified as He is pure. And so we're not passive in godliness, but we have come to see by God's grace that we could never be godly if we do not rely upon God's transforming divine power. Our third point that Peter is making here is the means. Okay, so God's divine power has granted all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so we have seen that the goal is godliness. We have seen that the source of this godliness is His divine power. But what exactly is the means that He uses to bring this about in our lives? How does this divine power come to work in my life each day? Peter says that God grants godliness in us by His divine power. But by what means does God use to produce this godliness? Does it just come in some mystical way? No, not at all. Peter tells us God's means twice, in verse 2 and also in verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 2 to 3 again. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. The way God's divine power comes to work in my life and in your life each day is through the knowledge of God. What does Peter mean exactly? Well, let me continue. We'll read verse 3 to 4. Through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them, through His precious and very great promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Peter says the knowledge that leads to life and godliness is the knowledge of God's precious and very great promises. I quote from John Piper, God's grace and peace are multiplied in or through the knowledge of God. Knowing God is the means by which His grace and peace become large and powerful in our lives. If you want to enjoy God's peace and be the aroma of His grace in the world, your knowledge of Him has to grow. Grace is not a mere deposit. It is a power that leads to godliness and eternal life. And where the knowledge of the glory and excellence of God languishes, grace does not flow. The channel from God's infinite reservoir of grace into and through our lives is knowledge of God. We do not study the Scripture for its own sake, but because through it comes the knowledge of God, and through that grace and peace are multiplied in your heart, in the church, and in the world. We become partakers of the divine nature, escaping from the corruption that is in the world through the hope and confidence in God's precious and very great promises for everything that we need for life and godliness. So what is he talking about? What is this means? It is the means of knowing God, of knowing His promises, His glory and His excellence that he mentions here. That is what fuels a hope and a confidence in us. That is God's means of producing godliness in us, is that we know Him and that we know that He is faithful and we know that His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So knowledge of Him, knowing Him deeply, knowing who He is, knowing what He's called us to. God's grace in Christ is the source of godly living. God's grace in Christ is the source of godly living. Let's get practical. I want to give us some application here. I want to give some practical application of what we've just said here in these 3 points. Every day we need to go to God's Word and ask Him to reveal to us His precious and very great promises, so that we will have hope and confidence in Him and His ability to transform us. We need to memorize or post one or two promises from God's Word somewhere where we're going to be confronted by that throughout the day, so that we can fix our eyes upon God's promises and God's faithfulness, so that we can use them to fight temptation and to fight sin and to fight unbelief and doubt in our lives. Remember Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We need to take these promises and bring them before us each day. Because those fiery darts that Satan uses to attack our minds and our hearts, they're aimed at our sinful desires for happiness. If you lie to your parents, kids, you will escape punishment. That's one of those lies that he throws at us. If you look at this website, you will have pleasure. If you buy this new thing, that's going to bring you happiness. If you don't share Christ with your friend, they will accept you and it'll be more comfortable. It'll be more convenient. We must fix our eyes every day on God's promises, and His divine power will be present in our lives to make us partakers of the divine nature, and we will escape from the corruption and sinful desire. Our theme this weekend is our life together in Christ. And so how does this message fit into that? As our brother said so well last night, we so often will see a passage like the one he spoke about, and this one, like in 2 Peter, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We tend to look at that in an individual way, as if this verse is just talking about me. And we have a tendency to think of godliness as just my own personal struggle that I must work on every day. And although growing in godliness is something that we must personally strive for, it is not something that we will ever be able to achieve independently from other believers. Godliness cannot be achieved independently from other believers. Godliness is designed to come about in a believer's life through the body of Christ, the church. Where do I get such an idea that this is a body, a group thing to work together for godliness? Hebrews 10:23-25 is just one place that I want us to look at in closing. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, not my hope, of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. There's one of those promises if you want to have one to look to every day. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need each other in this battle for godliness. We need to come around each other, and sometimes we need to put an arm around a brother or a sister And we need to remind them of the faithful promises of God. Especially when we know that one is struggling and is hurting. We need to consider. That means we need to spend some time thinking. Individually and as a group, as a congregation, how can we stir one another up to love and good works? How can we stir one another up to godliness? What can we do? What can I do in another brother or sister's life to stir them up to godliness? To remind them of God's His faithfulness, of His promises. Well, in closing, I want to again remind you of what God is going to do in the life of a believer. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. He will produce godliness in you. He will. He has granted everything to do that. And so, let us look to His faithful promises. Let us look to who He is, that He who promised is faithful, and He will do it. He will produce godliness. Let's strive together in one another's life. Let's encourage one another toward that goal and keep that ever before us. Oh, Father, we pray that You will accomplish this. We know You will. You have promised that You will. Give us that confidence. Give us that encouragement in You. May the fiery darts that Satan sends at our hearts and minds not cloud the certainty of Your promise in our lives. May we dig deep into Your Word so that we cannot be great theologians or know a lot of Bible trivia, but so that we will know You, so that we will know You and know that You're faithful, so that knowledge of You will transform us and will make us to be partakers of Your divine nature. We do desire that. Our desire is often feeble, but praise be to God. It is You who is at work in us both to will and to work for Your good pleasure. So do that in us. Do that in us. And may we see You as mighty to save. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.